Welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
It's really cold here, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, not like polar vortex cold, but it's still like 5 degrees or something this morning.
Yeah, we're rocking single digits lately.
Yeah, it's cold.
It's been weird because sometimes...
We're not used to it.
You being from Colorado, you're not...
Well, I'm originally from here, but...
Yeah.
We haven't lived in this sort of environment for 8 years.
Yeah, it's been quite a time. Quite some time since we've had to experience the frigidness of actual snow.
Yeah. Sean's been seeing all sorts of snows.
Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It really is. It's strange that like 6 months ago we were living in California where it never snows.
Right. I mean, it does up in like Big Bear and stuff, but,
yeah, but, I mean, but
where
like,
we were.
Southern California doesn't. It doesn't happen there.
Yeah.
It doesn't get rarely gets below 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And then you're lucky if that happens, you know, and we're talking like in the main area, you know, in the main, you know, valley and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But like here it gets cold.
Yep.
It's different.
It is.
It's definitely different.
And not only that, but there can be like a 20, 30 degree difference between like daytime and nighttime.
Yeah, no, there, and also,
and that just happens in the summer too.
We were saying we were out during the weekend.
And oh yeah,
I'm sitting outside, you know, in the morning, you know, the.
It like was
the
nice. Early. It was probably like 42 degrees, 43 degrees, like sun shining.
Yeah,
it was fine. We're like, great, a little chilly, but it'll be fine. So we're out, and all of a sudden, like, we were at the, like an outlet store or whatever, and I went in to use the bathroom. And I came out and I was like, the wind had started blowing. And I was like, what? Oh, it must have kicked up a bunch of dust. It wasn't dust. It was snowing while the sun was out.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But it got really cold.
It dropped probably like 10, 15 degrees in less than 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because the snow just blew in out of nowhere. It was freaking crazy.
Yeah.
But that's Colorado for you.
Yeah, it was really strange.
That's how it is out here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't care much for that.
No, because we were out in it. I was like, god damn it.
But yeah, so but that's kind of what we've been up to. Got to see a bunch of movies over the past couple of days.
Oh yes, we saw questionable leading man Liam Neeson's newest movie, Cold Pursuit. Speaking of living in Colorado during the winter, apparently that's where this movie takes place. But I would like to say that whoever filmed this movie has never even seen a picture of Colorado.
There's a lot. Yeah, I mean,
I was like, no, it doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny that I think there's that's the reason why a lot of people went to go see it.
Oh, and what here
the theater really?
Well, yeah, because it's supposed to be Colorado, and everybody in the theater is like, no. Like, the people next to us were like, that doesn't look anything like it.
Well, I mean, there's parts where, like, they're, you know, because, like, you know, we live, you know, within reasonable proximity of Castle Rock.
Uh-huh.
And they show, like, the, you know, the...
Well, no, they don't show Castle Rock.
They show the... Yes, they do. There's
no,
that one rock.
No, they don't. That's not Castle Rock. They're supposed to be in the mountains. That's just a rock.
I thought that was the Castle Rock.
No. No, because they live in, like, some little town... Like, that's supposed to be in the mountains, like, 3 hours away from Denver, where apparently it's Trail Ridge Road constantly, which is the only place, like, it really snows, like, you know, 10 feet of snow or whatever. And then they shut the roads down. But, like, Liam Neeson, like, literally plows every single day through about 15 feet of new snow. And yeah. But there's nothing there. There's no trees. Nothing. But there's a waterfall that hasn't frozen over for some reason that he gets to dump dead bodies down.
Yeah. Basically,
yeah, it was a fucking wild movie. I was just like, wait, what?
Well, basically, without giving, you know, talking
it's too absurd.
Much,
it's actually enjoyable.
It turned out to be a much more absurd movie
than I expected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know, because I thought it was going to be just like a straight Taken type thing, or The Gray, or The Commuter.
Like, just like a straight, like, Liam Neeson's Seeking Vengeance.
Well, that's what I mean. The Commuter. You know, The Gray, to any of the Taken movies, or any movie he's been doing lately. And it's not, it's kind of weird. It's a little off kilter, which is kind of fun. But then there's a lot of like time to drive into Denver scenes where they literally show like the city in the distance and them driving what would probably be I-70 into town, and there's fucking nothing.
Yeah.
There's no stores, there's no trees, there's nothing. And I'm like, that doesn't look anything like...
Yeah,
no, there's no other buildings.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
There's no traffic, and you're like, oh yeah, you fucking wish it looked like that.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's a, Denver's a pretty busy city. I don't know if you guys knew that. You know, it's kind of a big deal.
Well, that's the thing. It's the most populous city between here and Chicago.
Yeah.
Or between LA and Chicago.
There's some weirdness going on in that movie. And it's worth your time just to see it if you don't really care much for those, you know, Liam Neeson vengeance movies. And
yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
You can give it a pass, but it's interesting.
Also, so marvel at the lead villain's attempt of doing an American accent when so obviously is not American.
Yeah, yeah.
That's impressive.
It was
like a guttural grunt the entire time. It was a very gravelly voice.
It was the most earnest attempt at an American accent since Jonathan Rhys-Meyers is in Dracula.
Oh, yeah, except with more gravel.
With more gravel, yeah.
It was like if Jonathan Rhys-Meyers was in Dracula but gargling stones.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all sorts of... It's such a movie. It's kind of a... You're like, oh, okay, he's going to find his, you know, avenge his son. But then, like, you know, he kidnaps a kid, and then he's...
There's, like, some Quentin Tarantino-esque title cards in the middle.
And then there's, like, a Native American turf war going on.
Yeah, something happens there where they're like, yeah, this is...
A dude gets killed by the plow because he gets sucked into it.
Yeah, and well, there was also this one part where they were just like, yeah... Here in this mountain ski town, where the Native American reservation is, they built a casino. I'm like, the only reservations we have are like down south.
Yeah.
There's none in the mountains. I don't think there are, but we do have casinos, but they are not on Native American land.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say, movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's pretty silly.
Yeah.
There were some previews, too. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, what did we see for previews? Thank God we didn't see that stupid dog preview.
Oh, I know. Well, I think that's already been in theaters. And,
yeah, good. You know, gone, and I don't have to watch it.
I think we're past that.
Did we see Captain Marvel?
No, they didn't show that.
Okay. Well, that's coming out soon. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, they showed this Dennis Quaid Won't Leave His House movie.
Dennis Quaid turns into a creepy killer movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that one's...
He won't leave the house he sold to this couple, and then he just keeps terrorizing them?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. And then he just, like, randomly pops up in the background all the time.
Well, it's funny, because the movie's called Intruder. I was like, why don't you just call it The Guy Who Won't Leave My House? Just call it that.
I forgot about that. That's right.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, there's you know, we're not quite to the blockbusters yet.
No.
You know, but we're getting there. You know, Captain Marvel should be a treat.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I finally saw a Shazam poster, because I feel like the trailer for that came out, and then, like, nothing happened.
It was coming out.
But it's coming out in April, so it's, like, sandwiched between Captain Marvel and the Avengers.
But I feel like, you know, you would think...
I feel like I'd see more advertising, but I don't see any for it.
Just more of a bigger push, because I feel like Captain Marvel... has been, like, they've been pumping that movie since, like, before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. That's why, like, Shazam had that trailer, what, like,
it was Comic-Con. Like in the summer. Yeah, it was like Comic-Con.
I was like, wow, this looks really great. And then I feel like nothing else happened. Well,
another trailer that came out, like, another, like, something okay, more yeah, extended like, that okay. came out, I think, around Christmas. But I feel like just the buzz for it is not, like, like you would think. I don't know. Right. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, Aquaman kind of went under the radar, and then it came out, and everybody saw it. A bunch of people saw it, and it did really well.
Yeah, and so, it was good.
You know, and Aquaman, yeah, I mean, for what it was, Aquaman was good.
Yeah,
I
liked it.
It was a good movie. Shazam looks definitely to be...
I'm excited to see Shazam.
Well, because it's, you know, it's not...
And I don't even like Shazam.
It's not your usual... Yeah, Shazam is not my thing.
Yeah, it's not my thing either, because why? It's a story about a child. I don't like stories about kids. I didn't even like stories about kids when I was a kid, except the Goonies.
I've never really enjoyed the character that much in general.
That's because he's a kid.
Well, yeah. I mean, just like, I just, but even Yeah. No, I've never had any interest to be like, oh, I must buy that Shazam comic. Like, it's really, like, the only thing, the most important thing that Shazam holds to me is the superpowers figure that is hard to come by, you know, and I would really like it at one point, but I don't have it.
I don't think I've ever even seen it.
It's, you don't see it very often. It's, you know, it came out in the third series, and, you know, it's one of those ones like, you know, Mr. Miracle or Cyborg, you know, you don't, you know, they go, they fetch a pretty price, you know, especially, you know, on Men on Card. But yeah, no, it was, yeah, we'll see. I mean, hopefully we'll.
But I am excited to see it, which is, again, surprising for me. I had such an aha moment a couple years ago. I forget what I was doing. I was like talking to somebody about like what I didn't like about whatever. And it dawned on me that what I didn't like about everything I was talking about was the main character was a child. And I don't like stories about kids. I've never liked stories about kids.
Yeah. No,
and
no.
I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Do you like the Goonies?
I do like the Goonies. That's kind of more of a comedy.
But story about kids.
It is a story about kids. That is an exception.
But they're more teenager.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like about like,
Children.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you can talk about, I mean, but, you know, Goonies is more like, hey, here's a bunch of, you know, scrappy, you know, 12 to 16 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, doing stuff.
Well, like, so I started watching The Americans.
Yeah.
In The Americans, they have children. Every once in a while, they'll show a scene just with the kids. And I'm like, I don't care. I don't, go away, children. Don't, let's go back to your parents killing everybody, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you guys and the girl going to church and the boy breaking into the neighbor's house so he can play Nintendo, I don't give a fuck.
Ooh, like action Nintendo?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's a Nintendo. It looks more like an Atari.
Wait, is it set in the 80s?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, The Americans in the 80s.
I thought it was a current show.
No, it can't be. It wouldn't make, I mean, let's be honest. Apparently the Cold War never ended and we are just the only ones who didn't know that. But as we saw with our election, but it's set in the 80s about two KGB agents who pose as Americans to do covert ops, and they're supposed to be like a married couple and they have kids, and but they're like going on all these ops and stuff. So it's set in the, I think, 1982-83.
Are there kids agents too?
No, their kids are just American kids. Like, they're actually their biological children, but they're raised as American children. And I'm like, how does that work? That's the thing. I'm like, how does this, what kind of, like, what's the end game? Because what are you going to do? Like, go back to Russia with the two kids who've always loved American capitalism? Like, what's going on?
Do they speak at all with Russian accents?
No, but that's the whole point. Like, that they look exactly like Americans, and they sound exactly like Americans. Their English is impeccable. You cannot tell the difference.
Okay.
That's the whole thing.
Americans.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah. And they put on, there's a lot of wigs in that show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A lot of disguises, a lot of fake mustaches, and big glasses.
The kids have no idea.
The kids have no idea. Well, the daughter's starting to figure it out. The end of season one, but
okay.
The kids have no idea.
There's Atari.
There is a video game system that I got a glance of, but it was not a Nintendo.
But the parents won't let them have a Nintendo or
no.
An Atari.
No.
That sucks.
No.
Well, I didn't have a Nintendo until I was like 10.
Yeah, but these kids are old. These kids would have been born in like the late 60s, early 70s, so they're older than we are. Because this is like 1983 and the girl's like 15.
She would be born in the 70s.
No, she would have been born probably in 68.
Wait, 15.
If she's 15 in 1983?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
We'll go with the Atari. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's no Nintendo yet. Like I said, I think it's like 1983.
Well, you said Nintendo. I got all excited.
I don't. It was a video game system that I got literally 2 seconds of screen time. I don't know what the fuck it was. In like a Z plot while everybody else is getting their heads blown off.
Z plots are the best. That's all I care about is this. That's
everybody else is getting bullets to the head, and this kid just playing a fucking video game.
That's how I operate. I'm usually paying more attention to the things that aren't important.
I don't know if he was playing an actual video game. They never really show it, so
it's like this show that's one of these episodes. I'm like, what games are they playing?
Oh, I'm gonna have to show Sean that episode just so he can look at the video game system. and figure out what it is. Oh, man. And be like, oh, I know what game that is. It was pink on screen. Does that help you?
Were they playing a Pepto-Bismol game?
Yeah, yes, it was the Pepto-Bismol game. Because nothing says capitalism more than buy Pepto-Bismol. You know what?
If we're talking 1983, we're close to the video game crash. It's possible because a lot of the game, when the video game crash came out, you know, became a part of one of the factors that brought it about was people were companies producing games that had no business producing games. So like Purina produced a game about like.
Dogs?
Eating dog food.
Like feeding dogs?
Or feeding dog, or like it was like Chow Train or something, and there was like a train. So Pepto-Bismol might have produced a game where it was like, you know, bleh, you know.
Yeah, that sounds right. Actually, I'd really like to play that Purina game if I have to feed dogs.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Is that like Tapper, but with dogs?
I think so. No, I don't think it's...
You're just doing it as quickly as you can, all these hungry dogs. It's like Neko Itsume, but like the very, like the original version, the retro version of Neko Itsume.
Oh, just, but where you just feed animals?
Yes, because that's exactly what you did in Neko Itsume.
Oh, I haven't checked my Neko Itsume in
years.
I'm
sure those cats are dead.
I kind of hope I log on and it's just a bunch of like
skeletons. No, they go to other people's yards.
And the grass is really high. And there's a car in there for some reason. I didn't put it there.
It just
showed
up. It's
like that guy next door to us in L.A. And I remember when we lived in North Hollywood and there was
the Skugit man.
He had a Skugit because he had cats on his top of his roof and stuff. But he also had
that dude's house was falling apart.
And he never wore a shirt.
Yeah, he was an old man who never wore a shirt. He had about 6 cats.
Yeah.
And they were always on the roof, and we would say, hi, Skugits. And his house was literally, like, there were holes in the roof.
Well, because it was funny, it was interesting, because...
It was such a weird...
I think there's a house across the street, too.
No, you know what it was? He was the holdout.
Well, right, yeah, clearly. But I think there was another house across the street. And that towards the end, towards the back, like there's another random house that wasn't in bad condition. But
oh, okay, maybe I don't remember that. Fucking dead end in a stupid plastics factory.
Right, but then between the plastics factory were like these two.
I don't even know if it was a factory. I think it might have been a storage.
No, I think they did plastics.
Well, I know they did plastics, but I feel like they just stored plastics there because I never smelled anything.
That's true. You know what? Yeah, you're right.
So like, because LA is weird and it's like a. You can literally have a giant, perhaps plastics factory next to an apartment building, and nobody says anything. You can also have houses in the middle of oil fields, which there fucking are, and you're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Because LA's weird. So we lived in North Hollywood, and the first street we moved into was a dead end, and it was our apartment building, this house, this plastics factory, and then the dead end of the street.
Yeah.
So it was like this... We'd have this huge, and the fucking street was so thin, so narrow, but these giant 18-wheelers would come down it.
Oh, yeah.
And like, because they had to drop things off or pick things up. But there was that old man who just like refused to give up his house because I'm assuming they must have bought everything else.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Put up all those apartment buildings.
They put up those apartment buildings, yeah.
But he just refused to go. But that house was a fucking mess, and it literally did look like a blighted area.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that guy's a hoarder.
Uh-huh.
And he had cats.
Yeah.
Which, that was exciting.
It was exciting to see a cat, yes.
It was always exciting because we got to see which cats were out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like real life Neko Itsume.
Yeah. Well, this is Welcome to Cat Talk with Sean and Jen.
Well, Cat Talk is always... That's
literally our lives.
Because we have Harley walking around now.
Oh, he's cute.
He's getting used to the house. He's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah. That's all they are.
Pain in the ass.
No, he's cute.
But trying to think. Also, speaking of Liam Neeson movies, just to kind of.
Oh yeah, you bought that thing.
We went to Second and Charles just before we went to go see the movie.
Yep, because I got to buy more disaster books. Come here, sweetheart.
And I just happened to. It's the first time probably I didn't buy anything crazy, but I just happened to find Darkman because for some reason I was thinking about Darkman. Never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
No. But I was like, you know what? Because if I can find it, maybe I'll buy it. You know, because I don't normally buy physical DVDs or whatever. But, you know, Second Charles got them cheap or whatever. So they had all three of the Darkman movies released. And they were, it was like $6. Huh. So I picked that up and I watched Darkman for the first time. It's a Sam Raimi movie. definitely a Sam Raimi movie. It's not bad. You know, there was a part where I accidentally hit because I was using the PlayStation, so I accidentally hit like the skip ahead. So I think I missed a portion of the movie, like a small portion.
Yeah.
Because I was like, hey, what happened here? But nonetheless, though, if you've never seen Darkman, basically Liam Neeson is a scientist that's trying to create like a bunch of skin. And for some reason, Frances McDormand, who's his girlfriend, is like gets him implicated in some sort of racketeering plot, and he ends up, you know, there's like a memorandum or something that's like he's in possession of for some reason, but you know, he gets mixed up in it, and he ends up, you know, Liam Neeson ends up getting his face shoved in acid and his hands burned. The building explodes and he gets thrown into the water, and somehow they find him still alive and they do some sort of like operation on him, or something happens to him where he can't feel pain, you know, even though his skin is completely like, you know, he's super charred.
Does he start screaming, "Oh, my skin"?
No, sadly he does not.
It's too bad.
And but he also has like super strength and shit. So he like escapes from the hospital and goes to like get vengeance and stuff, and he finds out how to create the skin. But the skin's only good for like 100 minutes. After 100 minutes,
That's pointless.
Right.
I mean, it's not.
It's only good for 100 minutes.
Can't really go anywhere
in the daytime. At night, because it's something to do with like the sun or whatever. He's able to do better at night, but. Yeah.
I was going to say, you go to a really long movie, you're not going to have any skin by the time you leave.
Yeah.
Which is most movies.
No skin?
No skin by the time you leave.
So, yeah, but then, yeah, there's also a lot of, like, random, like, swearing in it, too, which is kind of funny.
Good.
I think it's worth it. It's definitely, we'll have to watch it again. Okay. I think it's worth a watch, because I feel like, you know, our buddies We Hate Movies at some point might do it, just for the fuck of it. Because it's not a great movie, but it's, you know, it's a stupid movie. And there's a bunch of sequels that Liam Neeson wasn't in, but those do exist. And maybe at some point I'll watch those, because I have them all. I have the entire Darkman trilogy.
Oh, man.
In my possession.
Very exciting.
So, yeah.
I just bought books about terrible things. I bought a book about the real life story of a floating brothel.
Like in the air?
No, like a boat.
Oh, okay.
The Floating Brothel, the extraordinary true story of an 18th century ship and its cargo of female convicts. Excited for that. Sounds feel good. And Dead Wake, the last crossing of the Lusitania, which we all know got sunk by a U-boat.
Nice.
Yeah, that's going to be a horrible, horrible story. Can't wait.
My wife...
Yeah, something's wrong with your wife.
real quick, so just, you know what? I don't really know for certain if this is true, but I think I saw an article about it. Was it Army Hammer is...
I saw that too.
In the
running to play Batman.
Yeah, I guess
but
he's pretty
close. But wasn't he before, too? Before
probably.
Affleck was cast?
I'm certain he was.
I don't know. He's a square-jawed white guy.
He was about right. He was probably definitely... He had to have definitely been in the running because, you know, what? Social Network was already, you know, already came and went by that time. I think, Lone Ranger was maybe was already out, too. Or Man from U.N.C.L.E., too. You know, I forgot about that.
Oh, he was in that.
Yeah.
Oh, he was already hanging out with Superman.
Yeah. See, that movie could be considered canon.
I liked that movie more than other people liked that movie.
It was pretty good. I thought it was
I didn't hate it. Well, yeah. I didn't hate it. Everybody's like, it was bad. I was like, you know what? I'll take it. It was entertaining. I had a good time.
Yeah. But so apparently he's in the lead running. So we'll see if Army Hammer becomes Bruce Wayne. I think he could probably pull it off, but at least from my perception, I don't know the guy, but I feel like you don't get as much baggage.
Dear personal friend, Army Hammer.
Yo, Army. Yo, Arm.
Arn.
Arm.
No, Arm.
I feel like he comes with considerably less baggage than Ben Affleck does.
He does. Poor Ben Affleck. I know. I was like, no, that was very upsetting.
Oh, when he got cast?
Yes, I was so upset.
Yeah, that really fucked up a lot of people.
Yeah, it really upset me.
That was quite.
And then he was a pretty good. I thought he was all right. He wasn't terrible. He wasn't the worst part of any of those movies.
No. Well, a lot of things were bad about this movie.
A lot of things, but he was not the worst part of it.
Yeah, there was a lot of
things. I didn't think he was bad.
I think just the movies overall were not good, and they should have been better.
I really want them to lean into, like, old man Batman. Give me a John Hamm.
We do a Batman Beyond or something. I don't know.
That'd be so fucking great. Even with an even older guy.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think of who would be a really good older guy.
Liam Neeson.
Just Irish Batman for no.
Well, he would have to because
Liam Neeson doesn't even fucking try. He's like, I'm not covering this accent because I can't. So I'm just going to be. I spent a lot of time with Alfred over in Ireland after my parents were murdered.
There's your explanation.
There you go. That's all you need.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. I mean, the movie probably won't come out for another 10 years.
Yeah, by then we'll all be dead.
Doesn't matter. I don't see what the point is.
Yeah, RIPS.
So I guess we should take our break.
Sure.
We'll come back. We'll talk about our book for this week.
Hi, everybody. My name's Hub, and I host a show called Tighten Up the Defense, a podcast that would likely benefit from a tagline. Every week, we read either a Defenders comic book from the 70s or a New Teen Titans comic from the 80s. I give a synopsis of that comic that I have handcrafted to amuse and inform, and then my good-for-many-things brother Corey comes over and we talk about what we found interesting about the comic we just read. It's a lot of fun, and we hope you'll join us for it. Anything you'd like to add, Corey?
I like cocaine from an animal's butthole. It is. So good. It is. Paradise.
Well, Corey, I don't really think that's appropriate. We're trying to do a promotion for our podcast here.
Shut up.
Okay, fair enough. Any final thoughts?
Of course.
Well, let's hear them.
I have eaten all the beaver butt. You have eaten none. And beaver's butt is pretty good.
There you have it. Tighten Up the Defense. That's T-I-T-A-N. You can find it wherever podcasts are found. It's probably worth mentioning. I'm the one who does the editing. Catch the wave of the future and hang 10 on it with us. Cowabunga.
All right, we're back here in our worst collection ever with our book for this week. It is I Love You. I Love You, number 49.
Oh, man, there were 49 issues of I Love You.
Oh, there's more than that. From December 1963, this is a Charlton comic.
Oh, man, and this is a fucking brand and a half.
We, because we are doing these comic love romance comics this month. Mm-hmm. So
it's February.
And we've had this one in our collection for a while. And this is beat up to shit. Like, literally, anytime I pick it up, it sheds.
Yeah, it's kind of great. I mean, it's from 1963. It has seen better days.
This is pretty goddamn old.
Yeah.
I don't think it's worth anything. Cause I think where did you get this from?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Cause I feel like
I honestly don't even remember where I could pick this one up.
Was it Jeffries? I feel like this has been a Jeffries book.
I don't know if I got.
Maybe it was a Buffalo. We didn't get it from Buffalo, did we?
No, I don't think I got it in Buffalo. I feel like I just got it. I think I know where I got it. Remember when Earth 2 was doing that outside sidewalk sale?
Really? Is this from Earth 2?
They had some romance comics, yeah.
Really? Yeah, interesting.
This might have come from them. This also might have...
You know what? I think you might be right. I think I feel like that's right,
because I don't think I got a lot of romance comics, if any, from Jeffries.
But yeah, this is a Charlton's comic. This comic ran from 1955 to 1980.
What? No.
I'm not kidding. I mean, by the time it was, you know, 1980 rolled around, it was just doing reprints.
Where can I get it? Where can I find all of them? This comic is batshit crazy, and we're going to get into it.
Right. But, yeah, this is one of the, you know, the Charles and Comics. I don't know.
Charles and Comics, I have a couple other romance comics from the same publisher, and they're all really crazy, really out there, obviously written by men trying to tell young girls how to behave.
Oh yeah, we're telling you how to do things here.
Yeah. So, you know, basically morality lessons cloaked in comics.
Well, that's what you want.
And that's what these are.
So this comic, the cover, I believe was owned by somebody named Betty Lim.
Yep, because she wrote her name all over it.
She wrote her name all over it.
I wonder what Miss Betty Lim is doing today.
I don't know. Betty Lim, if you're listening, we have your comic.
We have your comic, Betty. Please tell me if you have any more in your collection. Are they in better condition?
She might be like, I just needed this last one.
She's she's like, my mom got rid of them. It's terrible.
Oh, she's been hunting them in landfills because yeah. It came from a landfill.
Yeah, it's really beat up.
But so on the cover, you have a man in a brown suit mourning.
The
Dangerous Mind style.
Yeah, sitting backwards in a chair like he's going to rap with some students. Before that was a thing. So he's just doing it.
Also, it's kind of weird the way his legs are drawn because
there's a couple questionable poses in this book.
Yeah,
this is not the first.
But yeah, he's sitting in a chair and a woman behind him. So he's sitting there saying, "How can I forget? How can I forget? I loved her so, and I killed her." And there's a woman, blonde woman, behind him saying, "Please, Nick, you must forget. Don't let your life end here."
Yep. And then there's like a bubble of memory.
Bubble. Looks like this is Nick, and he's crying, and he's holding a lady in his arms. It says, "Condemned to loneliness."
Oh no.
So Charlton Comics gives you more. Give you more.
Give you more.
Give you more.
Give you more. That's what it says.
So basically it starts off with a car crash.
It's that,
Last Kiss.
It's that last song, which Pearl Jam has covered. I don't know who did it originally.
Oh shit. I should know that.
I should know that too.
Well, you look that up.
I'm going to look that up.
So basically, you know, we start off when you see a car crash and he's, you know, we got this Nick fella, basically the image from the cover, holding, his woman and his wife in his arms, Rita.
Yes.
And he's commentating on this. Oh, did you find it?
Last Kiss was a song released by Wayne Cochran in 1961. Failed to do well. He re-recorded it and re-released it in 1963. And then it was later revived by J. Frank Wilson and the Cavaliers.
Okay.
Pearl Jam and other artists. But everybody knows this song. It's the one about the lady who dies.
Where can my baby be?
The Lord took her away from me. That song.
So
I used to love that song when I was a kid because my parents used to hear it on the Oldies channel. I was like five and I'm like, can't wait to hear that again.
Oh, that's the thing. Back in the day, you know, I mean, I grew up in that, the same kind of thing too. My parents listened to the Oldies all the time. So yeah. A lot of those songs.
Oh, they're great.
Like, that's pretty much the
until I was about like 8 maybe, that's pretty much all I listened to.
Yeah, I didn't really I mean, like, I knew of other music.
Yeah, I mean, I knew, like, of like Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah, like I knew of, like, pop songs and I knew of rock songs or whatever, but it wasn't until I was maybe like 10.
Yeah.
I didn't really watch like MTV, so that's when I started understanding all this other music and stuff. Like, I knew of bands.
Sure.
You know, cuz I had, you know, metalhead cousins or, you know, rock and roll cousins.
Right.
That wore like half shirts and shit with bands on them.
Yeah.
You know? So that was, but I was pretty much like, you know, my mom listened to Oldies 104.
It was cool 105 out here.
Yeah, listening to that. You listen to.
And that's all my parents ever listened to.
So he's holding his wife in his arms. And so there's a car accident, obviously. And, you know, and he's, you know, we get a lot of Nick, this guy Nick, kind of commentating on
it. He's very upset. But my favorite is the drunk guy who hit them. So Nick is very clear about the fact that he is going the speed limit and he is in his own lane.
Yeah.
And then he gets hit by this drunk. And this drunk guy.
Look at this crash. Are we looking at a top view of the crash?
Yes.
Woof.
And head-on collision, whatever. And this guy's really drunk. And he is just like, why are you worried about it? You got insurance. insurance. This woman is dead.
Well, he goes, he's like, we got insurance, and I had to look for my match for my cigar. Blah.
Yeah, that's and totally he, it's, the same it's funny as your he's dead
got,
wife.
So he's got, so this guy is, it's funny because this
We've
guy's
both
coming.
Been inconvenienced today. I couldn't find my match. Your wife died. Same thing.
You're now a widower. Your child is now motherless.
That's right, because they have a baby.
They have a brand new baby, and it's like, oh, we have to go out, but now she's dead.
Yeah.
You know, but for some reason, I like this guy's cigar kind of look like it exploded.
It really does.
Like a comically exploded.
It's like he hit it on the steering wheel.
Or it's like it just like he lit it and went poof, you know? So, and then we're in the hospital.
So, yeah, so the coroner comes, and she's dead on arrival, basically. She's dead at the scene. So the coroner comes, and they take her to the hospital, and he's like, I wouldn't leave the body, and I just hung out with it in the hospital, in the ambulance, at the scene, until they finally made me leave.
Yeah.
And so he leaves, and the drunk guy's still there, and he just, like, starts fighting him in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like the way he keeps, so, like, the way it's drawn here.
He tries to slap this guy's tie off.
That's basically what he's doing. Like, he's punching the guy in, like, you're supposed to think he's punching the guy in the chin, but it looks like he's just kind of, like, making his tie go, wee!
Yeah, it looks like he went to hit him and missed and just whacked his tie instead.
Yeah.
And then he's like, that's when I, you know, after they gave me a sedative, and that's when they discovered I had, like, two broken ribs and a broken arm or something. Yeah. Whatever. And then he just, like, lays around being like, my wife is dead. She's dead. And everybody's like, hey. He's like, I've got nothing to live for. And they're like, actually, you have, like, a six-week-old baby at home that you kind of need to take care of. He's like, fuck the child.
Pretty much.
Find me a woman to take care of this baby because I can't possibly do it.
So just as...
Luckily, dead wife has living sister.
That sounds like an Onion article.
Well, luckily, dead wife has living sister.
Yeah.
It does, actually.
So real quick, I just wanted to point something because I saw this online on Twitter. And somebody reposted it as a clickhole thing. And it's like, folks, get ready to be sad. This man works for a website. It's just a picture of a guy in front of a computer.
What did I say this today? And it was just like, like, deeply embarrassed man stands stock still as acquaintance zips up his backpack. The quote is like, hold on, buddy, let me get that for you. It's a picture of a guy zipping another guy's backpack. I love the ending.
But pretty much, so this guy's just sitting here, and thankfully, okay, so this guy's in the hospital, and this woman shows up, and she's like, hey, you don't remember me very much, but, like, I'm Rita's sister, Louisa, and I've already, like, fed the baby, and she's like, he's like,
yeah, I'm here to give up my own life as a young woman, to take care of your baby forever. And he's like, you look so much like her. And so they, like, go home, and he's just, like, anger smoking.
Oh, yeah.
He's just, like, pissed off.
There's a lot of close smoking.
Yeah, all he does is just glare and smoke. Yeah. And so he's like mad because she's like good to the kid and like looks like the wife. And he's like, you know what? Fuck this. You keep that fucking baby forever. I'm running off to Venezuela.
Again, this is ties in with the other Charlton comic we read where the woman hater, the one where the man, she was like, oh, you're a man hater because her mom, her father.
Oh, that's right. He went to Venezuela to work and he never came back.
Her father went to South America and never came back.
Oh shit. Is she that baby?
No,
oh, that's
son.
A boy. Oh man. They have the same story.
Charlton. Yeah. Charlton.
Dad's going to run off to Venezuela. Either that or like one of the guys who wrote this was like really working through some issues about his dad running off to Venezuela when he was a child. Venezuela.
There is so much drug muling going on in these comics.
And blonde killer men. Murderers.
Serial murderers and...
dudes doing drug mules for Venezuela.
Drug mules.
Yeah. There's a lot of that going on.
And so he goes to Venezuela and he meets up with who you said is...
Fat Gomez Adams. Because he looks just like Gomez Adams except he's fat.
He does look like Gomez.
He's even wearing like the striped suit like Gomez wears.
Oh, is that Paul Bearer?
Yeah, yeah, that could also be Paul Bearer.
Undertaker, put these drugs up your ass. Oh, yes, they will never look up there.
Well, I mean, considering the Undertaker was complete, that was a very good Paul Bearer, by the way.
My Undertaker is a corpse who has drug stuff in it.
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
And he comes alive to Tombstone the Wrestlers.
He comes alive to Tombstone Law Enforcement.
Big Boss Man, watch out! You're going to get tombstoned by the Undertaker, and he has drugs up his ass.
Well, you wouldn't even have to put him up his ass because since he is a dead man, you could just fill
every hole.
You could just open his body cavity and be like, "We're embalming him," but you're just stuffing him with cocaine.
How great would it have been if the Undertaker got body slammed and a bunch of drugs came out of his
body? Oh my God! Would it be even funnier? The Undertaker.
Oh God, that man had drugs in him.
The Undertaker gets body slammed. And he literally explodes, and cocaine just fills the air.
Cocamania.
Cocamania.
Oh, man, and all the wrestlers come to the ring and snort it.
What if he fell...
That's the last time wrestling happened.
What if he fell through the top of that cage with Mick Foley, and he just became powder?
Because his body's entirely cocaine.
All cocaine. Just with that Liam Neeson skin.
The Undertaker is entirely made of cocaine.
Well, he's dead and stuffed full of it because he's a drug mule. And then he's covered in that skin Liam Neeson made in Dead Man. Dark Man.
Oh, okay. Oh, Liam Neeson's in this too. Great.
Yeah, Liam Neeson's there too.
Liam Neeson also supplied the coke that he did when he starts... Because he stole it from that guy.
That's right. That was also part of Gold Pursuit. When he like steals the cocaine and he's like opening it and it's just blowing in his face.
And he somehow does not get completely fucking wired.
And he's like rubbing it all over because he's like trying to get it out of his face. It's just making it worse.
Yeah. Oh, you just gotta let it be, man.
Or just don't stand downwind, Liam Neeson, but okay.
Okay, so this guy's in Venezuela for like a couple of years.
Yeah, and he's not like, I worked 24 hours a day. He's not there that long because he comes back to visit his kid. His kid's a toddler, what, like two maybe?
Right.
Looks like he's about to. This guy becomes Polly Walnuts in the span of like 18 months. He gets the wings.
Oh, Polly Walnuts.
That's just probably cocaine.
Oh, he just put the cocaine in his hair.
He just put the cocaine in his hair.
He's like, look, I couldn't fit any more up my ass. I go with my hair.
I just use it like pomade. Or it's just gel. Just cocaine gel.
I just imagine this guy getting up in the morning and be like, oh, where can my baby be? Looking in the mirror, just putting cocaine in his hair.
Singing that song.
Oh, he's singing that song. Yeah, the song came out around that time. He's like, oh man, this song really speaks to me.
This song is strangely about my life.
It's not really about my life. So is this comic. What's going on?
So
is that the Undertaker?
So he's like, I got to take my cocaine hair and I'm going back to the States to visit my kid for like a week.
Well, he visits his kid who somehow has a spine problem.
This child has a spina bifida or
he's
sashaying.
He is sashaying.
This kid is going to be divine in a few years. I think that's what happens. He grows up to be divine and work with John Waters.
Okay. That's the story we're going with here. Yep.
That's what I'm going with. This kid is just like model walking with this hip movement.
I don't know what it is. He's wearing a skirt.
Maybe he has polio. I don't know.
Well, back then, yeah, everybody had polio. I mean, they figured out that everybody got the vaccine. Maybe his surrogate mom's an anti-vaxxer.
No, I don't even know if it was available for everybody back then, to be honest with you.
Okay. Well, you've been reading all the disease books.
I know. I got to get my disease books going on.
Anyway, so Polly Walnuts gets, she's like, look, you're, well, this is, okay. She picks him up from the airport.
Uh-huh.
We gotta keep moving with this book, but like it just there's these a lot of random ass stupid parts in this.
This is true.
Where she picks him up from the airport, and she's like, okay, well you're a man, you're the man of the house, so you drive. And it's like, and he's like, I can't drive because, oh where could my baby be?
Right, like I don't drive anymore. How we got around in Venezuela, I don't know.
Well, Gomez walked. He rode around in the Paul Bearer's hearse.
Yeah.
So Yeah, and then there's just a lot of stuff of him, like, you know, like this girl, Louise, or whatever. She's like, "You're being a dick," and he's like, "Fuck that."
Yeah,
I hate it. I'm so sad.
Yeah, and she's like, "Hey," she calls him a sourpuss, but you know, she wanted to call him a pussy. Because she's like, "What's wrong with you? You're being a sourpuss. You know, your wife wouldn't be happy because you're just letting this ruin you." And he's like, "I am Polly Walnuts now. Go get me a velour tracksuit." And so he's like, "Well, I'll go stay at the neighbor's house.
Me and Tony have to go bury Ralphie Cifaretto's head in the
I'm going to do that.
In a field.
You hang out with the kid." And she's like, "No, dude, I've been hanging out with this kid for 2 fucking years. I'm gonna go to eat dinner by myself.
Not even my goddamn kid."
Yeah, it's not even my kid. I would like to go shopping and not see your stupid kid. So he's like, "Oh, I guess I could take care of it." So he like
makes him a hot dog.
And then the next, he's like, everything's going real good until the next morning when he runs out of milk. And that's a drawing of him looking at this empty milk bottle. He literally has it like, he's holding it by the top and it's right in front of his face and he's just staring at it like inches from his nose.
Is he trying to fill it with his tears?
Yes, he is. I think he is. Actually, it's kind of close to his hair, so maybe he's trying to get his cocaine to go in there. He's like, "It's white. It's the same thing."
Yeah, so there's a big crisis because the kid needs to eat.
And the kid wants milk and he's crying because he sucks. He's a child. Instead of just being like, "Eats fucking toast, kid." He has to go to the store.
I don't know if he's not old enough for toast.
He's old enough for toast. That kid's on solids. He's like, "Oh no, I have to go to the store, but no one is around to drive me. I'm going to have to drive myself."
Yeah, somehow this turns into this guy trying to drive. It's like a story about a man who overcomes his fear
of
his trauma of driving. And then, then he goes...
Then he comes back and he's like, "Oh, you did this on purpose." And she, like, the sister's making him eggs or something. And he's like, "Man, just like a broad doing this, blah, 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 blah." And she's like, "Okay, you know, I'm going to just be a great mother and an all around wonderful person." And then he's like, "You know what? You're a good mom. I've decided I love you. Let's get married." She's like, "Yay!" And that's the end of this.
Well, then we end on like a creepy thing of like this kid. So they're kissing.
Oh yeah.
And then the kid's in the back.
That kid's a voyeur.
Yeah, he's like,
that's his kink. He's like, "I like to watch.
I like to see my parents. I
love watching my
or my sort of parents.
My sort of parents gonna fuck." So that's it. That shitty man overcame his fear of driving and married his dead wife's sister.
The end.
The end.
So let's jump to the next one. The next one is I Would Not See.
So basically the gist of this entire story is this girl is dating a blind guy, but she doesn't know if she can love a blind guy.
Uh-huh.
And so all she does is try to figure out if she can love a blind guy.
Yeah, it's basically
And that's
it.
All it does for about five pages.
Well, at one point she has like this like fever dream where she can't, like, she's just laying in bed being like, "Blind man, I can't, I don't know."
But she's already dating him.
Well, she's not sure. I don't know. She's just a lot of like,
she's hanging out with him. She likes him a lot, but he's blind, so she doesn't know. So,
well, I guess like,
I mean, that's all it is. That's all this whole fucking story is.
We don't know anything about this guy's blindness and how.
We don't know anything about any of these characters. This guy is blind and she's not, and they don't know. And
well, apparently he's, you know, he might not be always blind.
Yeah, he's kind of blind. He's the kind of blind that gets fixed at the end of the story, so don't worry.
Yeah, don't worry, you can.
But she's gonna like
fix blindness, guys,
go through all this shit until she gets to the end, because I'm just skipping over this whole story because, well, no, we like, just this
go
is
to,
it
well they go to the beach. There's this part where they go to the beach and she's like I'm really into it, you know, or where I'm like, I don't know what's going on, and he's like, well, let me feel your face, and she's like, oh man.
Do you think he's doing that creepy thing that John Travolta does in Face Off?
Oh, when he just walks
where he does like the waterfall over people's faces.
Isn't it just like John Travolta in general?
I don't know. He made it up for the movie. I don't know if he actually does that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Isn't that Shoot John Travolta?
Yeah.
Just going around touching people's faces.
Is that what this guy's doing? He's just waterfall on people's faces.
So at one point, she's like, you know, she's like, oh, darling, you mustn't say how beautiful I am.
Because you can't see me. Is that why she can't be with this guy? She's like, I'm so beautiful, and this guy can't appreciate my true beauty.
Yeah,
so
I think there's
a little bit of that going on.
I think just part of that, you know,
I'm just vain.
You know, and then at one point she says, like, well, we mustn't fall in love. And he's like,
but I already love you.
No, he's like, he gets like pissed. He's like, oh, well, how dare you say that? And then he just walks off.
Yeah.
Just walks along the beach. Because they're there with like their other couple or whatever.
Yeah, it's like friends or something.
Friends or whatever. I thought for a second, I was like, wait, is he his ride? Did she drive him there and he's just walking away and like, just like, he can't, because he can't drive.
Yeah, that's also the weird thing about this, because this guy's blind and there's no, like, you know, seeing cane. There's no dog.
He's got cane. She talks about his white cane a bunch.
But we don't see him with it.
Yeah, we do.
Is he walking away with it at the beach?
Yeah.
Where?
Right there. See, there's a cane.
Oh, okay, good. Because in the other picture, it doesn't look like he has it.
At the very beginning, she's like, oh my God, his cane.
Oh, yeah. No, that I see. But at the beach, it looks like he's walking away without it. That one right there.
Oh, this, no, he's got a cane. Well, no. This here he doesn't.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm going to walk down this beach that I've barely ever been to without my cane or my dog.
Where can my caney be? So she, yeah, and then he's just being a, you know, they're just, she's like, oh my God, I do love him and I need to make him feel better or I need to get back with him. And
I should stop being such a shallow bitch.
Yeah. And then he calls him and he kayfabes her and,
yeah,
you know, and then eventually.
Don't worry. Apparently between like the time they were at the beach and the time she called him on the phone, he had surgery that he didn't tell anybody about.
Yeah, he got some special surgery.
So he wasn't like talking about it before with like his friends telling him that, oh man, this might work. No, don't worry. He got special surgery and he can see her and, oh, she's so beautiful. He's not blind anymore. The end.
Why is he still wearing the glasses?
Maybe his eyes are all fucked up because they're still healing.
Oh man, what if he's got like...
It's uber LASIK. I don't know.
They cut out my eyeball.
Ugh, no. I have donor irises or something. I don't know.
Oof just takes off his glasses, just got googly eyes. He's like, ah! I can see! Ah!
Like Cookie Monster eyes?
Yeah. He's like, I can finally see. She's like, oh my God. Oh, no!
That'd be so awesome sad. If he just like Cookie Monster eyes.
And then the next story is like, can I love a man with googly eyes?
And every page just has googly eyes glued on it.
Ooh, nice.
Oh my God, let's do that. That's amazing.
We'll just glue some googly eyes onto this guy.
And yes. Every freaking panel. I love it.
So here's the, I guess is this the longest one of this? I think
yeah,
it is.
It's like yeah. The end too.
The main event of this one's called Charlton Comics Give You More Postponed Love.
Yes. It's about this woman
basically
who
it's
loves
about,
this guy, but this guy is like, we can't get married right now because I have to do insert thing here.
Yeah, basically he every time he's like, you know,
we're
what?
Oh, wait, no, I got to do something else.
I got like.
But go, it like takes me away. Like I have to go like train.
I have to go do war.
Does he go to Venezuela? I would not be surprised if he goes to Venezuela.
You know, I am surprised. Yeah, I'm so shocked that he didn't end up in Venezuela like the rest of Charlton Comics.
And he has a friend who is a blonde man who must be the murderer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's back. Yeah, so we got, what's her name? This is, so Dick is her boyfriend.
That's right.
And
I forget the boyfriend's friend's name.
Beverly
is her
girl.
Name.
The friend's name is,
Not Dick.
Cunt.
Not Dick.
Or something. Carl.
Close enough.
Carl. And he, so basically she's like about, he's about to tell her something. And then Carl shows up and he's like, hey!
Yeah, they're like,
we're going to war!
Yeah, it's literally the beginning of every war movie ever, except neither Carl nor Dick die.
No, they don't.
They don't get captured. Nobody has to go save them from the Germans. Nothing.
Yeah. So she's like, look, you know, I have to go to war. But like when I come back, you know, we're going to be together. And then their faces meld together. Like,
yeah.
Did you see that there? Like their faces
become.
Oh,
gross. There's no line there. They really do.
That's what happened. Yeah. Gross. And then they come back from war. She's like, you know, and then they decide to like hook up Carl with a lawyer woman.
Oh, yeah.
But the lawyer girl is like, you know what? I don't want to get married. I'm just ready to, I just want to fuck.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of scenes here where the women are, you know, basically the friend is telling this Beverly, like, hey, you know, your husband or your buddy, you know, your dude is not going to like marry you because he's not into marriage like you thought he is.
Yeah. Stuff. He wants to just be like single.
He's single.
He likes sexy rhombuses.
This guy comes up, you know, this dick guy is like, you know, she's like, oh my God, I really want, you know, cause they're at this dance and this woman tells her that. And she's like, this Beverly's like, oh, I really want to, you know, get married. I want to be with him. I want to be with him. And then the dick shows up. He's like, hey, I got good news. I'm leaving again.
Yeah. Cause he's going to train for a job or something.
I'm going to the coast.
I'm assuming to Venezuela.
And then he lights a cigarette in her face.
Yeah. Because that's what you do. And she's like, don't you want to stay with me? And he's like, don't worry, babe. I just got to do this thing. So she watches his plane leave. And then he sends her a letter where he's like, you know what? I'm going to stay and take this job. Glad you wasted your life. Bye.
Yep.
And so she's just like, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to be alone forever. And I'm just wear this weird hat. And
yeah, it is a weird hat. It's like a Bray Wyatt hat.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Dick Tracy hat. Like, she's going to start solving crimes, which actually wouldn't be too bad.
Oh, man, she's like, you know what?
Because this is where the romance novel usually starts.
Yeah. Oh, what, when she's solving crimes?
No, when everything is left and now it's time for her to, like, do something else, and then she meets the dude she actually has.
Gotcha.
The sex with.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So don't worry. Her friend is a pain in the ass and like, stop wearing that stupid hat and come to my lawn party because it's my birthday. And
come on my lawn.
You've been hiding over here too long. And she's like, oh, I don't know. And she's like, no, you have to come by. So she goes and
I invited this blonde serial killer.
And the blonde serial killer's there. And he's like, hey, I'm that guy's friend, but don't worry about it. I like you.
She's like, yeah, you know, she's sitting there thinking like, oh yeah, he's like much nicer than my shitty friend, my shitty dick. And so
they start hanging out.
And
he's grabbing her face weird.
Oh yeah.
He's doing some face grabbing.
Oh, they're doing some swimming.
They're swimming. They're going for night walks, which that'll just get you killed.
Yeah.
They're drinking out of a can. I'm assuming together because there's only one can.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's like, honey, let's share this can of Dr. Pibb or whatever.
And then finally they kiss and they're like, oh my God, I love him. But guess what? Our buddy Dick shows back up and he's like, me in town. Hey, babe, you want to get married?
Literally, he gets off the bus and he just goes, hey, my girl, get, you know, the girl that I sent a letter to and telling her
I haven't spoken to you in months.
Yeah, let's get married up? Like right now.
Yeah.
And
this is the worst booty call. Because instead of just getting to fuck, you actually have to marry the guy.
Yeah, I know. It's like booty calls back in the 60s were like, you had to get full-on married.
Yeah, not only that, but
full-on
like...
full-on betrothed.
All of these comics, like, these people barely speak to each other most of the time. And then they're like, hey, I know we only met like two panels ago, but you want to get married? And they're like, yes, I love you. And you're like, you don't even know that guy's last name. What are you doing? Do you know his middle name? Do you know his favorite color? Have you met his mother?
Oh, yeah, there's no mother meeting.
Nothing. They're just going to get married. I guess that's how it worked back then. Well,
people didn't live together if they weren't married, I don't think.
Some people probably did, but it was looked down upon.
Oh, that was in the, you know, San Francisco and the crazy hippie cities.
Yeah.
We're all living together and not, you know, Don Draper's showing up looking down upon you. Whatever. So she's like, oh my God, guys, let's get married. And she's like, oh shit, I don't want to get married. But then she ended up getting married to this other guy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So she's like,
and he was the best man.
Yeah. She was like, that guy who totally jerked me around for many years came back just in time to be the best man at my wedding.
And that's how that ends.
Yep. That's the book.
That is I Love You from... what did I say this was?
1963?
Yeah, but what issue number? 49. Want to make sure we got that right. So I Love You, number 49 from December 1963. Would you want to read the next issue of this?
I want to read all of them because they're just ridiculous.
It's
so...
a product of a time. Look how much it sheds.
Yeah, it sheds everywhere. And we need to vacuum now because it's like we've got old comic all over the floor.
Ew, old comic.
Gross.
Ugh.
Needs to go back in its bag before it just disintegrates.
It might turn into coke like the Undertaker.
Yeah, it just might.
Well, all these comics are maybe Charlton's trying to tell us something. It's like these comics are actually made of coke because all of our characters go to Venezuela.
Yes,
to do the drug war.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. Yes, I reactivated my Twitter because I'm an asshole. You can find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever, and email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get this show. And tell your friends. That would be really cool if you did that. So thanks again for listening, folks. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.